Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 199. Today's episode is an interview that I recorded with Tess Weresmith. Tess is the founder of Wealth with Tess, and she helps women in their 30s and 40s create economic wealth and freedom for themselves. This is an interesting topic for me, one, because as you'll hear me share with her at the beginning, is that a lot of times I will have women on my podcast who I just want to learn from and teach me different ways that I can begin to build wealth and financial freedom. But in real transparency, I always was somebody who built financial security and freedom by only taking care of myself. I met my husband when I was like, I don't know, like 37 years old or something like that, in my late 30s. And I was committed to, prior to that, to making my own money. My parents got divorced when I was 6 years old, and my mom taught me that a woman could always be independently wealthy and set herself up for success. So I just always did that. I always put money into my 401k. I always made sure I had financial security. I always made sure I had good jobs so that I could pay for my rent. But now, as I'm getting older, I realized that I never took the opportunity to build actual wealth. I never took the time to build something beyond my means, right? I'm really great at living paycheck to paycheck, but I'm not as great at living for the future. And that's something I've been trying to work on, think about, figure out tools and tricks. And so when I met Tess, I was like, oh, absolutely. I want to learn all of these things from you so that I can figure out how to now go from creating what I need to creating more than enough, creating a legacy. Because really, for all of us women, we not only have the ability to do that, but when we are able to do that, statistics show that we give back, right? That we put money into the economy. We aren't hoarders. And even if you are a hoarder, that's totally fine. I'm okay with that. But me, myself, I know I will spend my money to no end on other women. And that's just what I do. That's what I like to spend my money on, is women-owned businesses. So whatever that might be for you, listen to today's episode. Tess has so many gems that she shares in the episode about how she learned to build her own financial wealth and freedom. And she gives you really practical things that you can get started on this week. Let's get started. Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out, because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I'm your host, Stacey Mayer, and so excited to be here with you today. I have a very special guest, and before I introduce her, I must confess, I have brought her on for very selfish reasons. She is a wealth and financial coach, and I really just kind of want to get a bunch of advice from her and figure out how to make more money with my money and just do more awesome things in this world. So I decided, you know what, let's get the best on here and let's bring Tess onto my podcast. So I'm hyping you up. She's laughing.
That was an amazing introduction. Thank you so much.
I'll give a more formal one. She actually sent me some information about her, but really, you know, I just wanted to be upfront. Tess is a financial coach and the founder of Wealth with Tess, a financial education platform that helps corporate women and entrepreneurs in their 30s and 40s and beyond learn how to grow their money using simple investing strategies so that they can have the financial independence to retire comfortably, chase their dreams, and live life on their terms. Yay. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Stacey. I am so excited to be here. And I also just love the work that you are doing as somebody that is in a VP spot now and would be chasing a C-suite if I wasn't moving into my business. I wish I had those resources before. So I think your podcast is amazing and I love what you're doing.
Oh, so good. All right. So now that I'm being completely, completely transparent, one of the reasons why I follow Tess on Instagram, and you should as well. We'll link to her Instagram handle on show notes, but she has really amazing arms and she gives really great advice. So before we get into this, I just want to know, like, why are you so fit? Like, what is going on? And, you know, and honestly, I think this is one of my favorite things about women is that, you know, we sort of think, oh, maybe we shouldn't talk about their appearance because that's what we're trying to work against our whole lives. But I'm like, no, I think women are the most flattering when it comes to like calling somebody out on their awesomeness and their badassery. And so I just totally want to acknowledge you. I was like, oh man, she's got it going on. So I have an inkling that there's something else going on there. So tell me about your personal life, if you don't mind.
Sure. So first of all, thank you. I appreciate that. I have spent my whole life in athletics. I was a springboard diver through university. And then my first job was an aerial acrobat. So I did a lot of gymnastic stuff. Since then, I competed in Olympic weightlifting and now I do rock climbing a lot. So I've always done something, and physical activity is my therapy. So I've always done that. But yeah.
That is so great. I love it. And it really shines. Like when, you know, I watch you on Instagram, I'm like, wow, I want to be around her. I want to talk to her. I want to learn from her. And so I think that that is honestly a learned skill in some ways. It's not something that we all just like, I think a lot of us think that somebody's just born that way or they're charismatic, but you know, you have like over 20,000 followers on Instagram. Like this doesn't just happen. I'm curious as we get into, and I'm sure you're going to give us all the wealth and financial advice, but as you were building, and I know you're a VP as well, but there has to be something about your leadership brand, your style, like your own authenticity. When I mentioned those words and like who you are, like who you are being both online. And then we can also talk about work if that makes sense, but let me know what comes to mind there.
Yeah. One thing that I think defines my leadership is empathy. And I love that word for all kinds of reasons, but I've always tried to lead from that place. And I think I try to share as much about my mistakes as possible to show people that, you know, I've had my own fair share of things. And while I can't always necessarily understand somebody's situation, I think that is the most important part of leadership, is understanding where somebody is coming from and asking effective questions. And so a lot of my content comes from people that have asked me questions or hearing the same kinds of things all the time. Like the number one thing I hear from most women in corporate is they feel like they're behind when it comes to investing. And it doesn't matter what age they are, they could be 25, 30, 40, 50, everybody says the same thing. And so when I was creating my brand, the most important thing for me was to be, one, relatable and real. Like I've messed up really bad. I've made a lot of mistakes and I'm very transparent about that. But then also to be empathetic, to understand that everybody is coming from a different place. We don't all start in the same place. And especially when you're talking about something as sensitive and taboo as money, the only way to help somebody else is to really understand where they're coming from and why they might have whatever negative money beliefs they have or negative money stories, and everybody has them. So I think that's what comes to mind when you ask me that.
And I think that it is so easy to look at other people and be like, they have it together, or they have this, or they're just wealthy. And I know that another part of your bio that I didn't read was about the $80,000 in bad investments that you lost in your 20s. And then you learned everything you could about wealth building and built your net worth to $1 million as a single 35-year-old woman. Oh, that is amazing. Thank and that's you. What I assume you mean by your transparency and your honesty of your story and your background.
Yeah, absolutely. It's big money mistakes. It's also limiting beliefs around money. As a financial coach, a wealth coach, I still am working through that stuff. Some of that stuff doesn't just go away overnight, right? So I think it's really important that we talk about that. And then I also share my mistakes. And that was one of the big reasons I started Wealth with Tess. The reason I started this business was because I felt so much shame and I felt so stupid for making these big mistakes. And then as I started to get out there and talk to more women, I realized most people feel really overwhelmed, really uncomfortable, really unfamiliar when it comes to money. And that if I can do anything to normalize conversations around it, I will. And so that's why I share a lot of those mistakes. But I'll say this, I'm also grateful that they happened because it forced me to learn all of these things. And now I'm in a much better financial situation than I ever would have been if I hadn't have made those mistakes. So while I would love to, you know, have that $80,000 back, also, that was probably one of the most valuable lessons I ever had in my life, and humility and just making sure that you get an education before you get into stuff.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that story. That was a pretty surface level, you know, two sentences. I'd love to hear more, whatever you'd be comfortable sharing.
Yeah, sure. So I graduated into a recession and couldn't find a job. And that's how I ended up as a actual circus performer, was my first job out of college. And so I was an aerial acrobat. And one of the great things about that job was that I lived and worked on cruise ships. So everything was paid for.
Oh my God. That was like my dream job. At some point I was an actress in New York and I was like, I just want to work on cruise ships.
It was so fun. I met people from all over the world, and there was an ice cast full of like world champion ice skaters. I go on and on. It was an amazing experience. But one of the things I loved most about it is I grew up with a real scarcity mindset around money. So I was super afraid of money. Any money I got, I would hide and like put under my bed. Like I actually had like money under my bed. I was afraid. And so when I had this opportunity, I thought, great, I can save a lot of money. And so I did. And then simultaneously, I had read a little bit about investing because I knew enough to know that it was important, but I wasn't sure exactly how to tackle it. And so very quickly, I thought, I'm not smart enough to manage my own money. I need to find somebody else to do this for me. So I worked with a financial advisor I knew through a mutual friend, and I basically just gave her my money and said, go make it more. And unfortunately, after a few years, once I'd returned to land and started paying more attention to what was going on, I realized the returns weren't quite what I would have expected them to be, especially during this time in the early 2010s, the market was doing really, really well. And so I was a little bit confused about the returns. And then I started looking into that and found out that my portfolio wasn't invested in a way that was in my best interest. There were duplicate funds. There were funds that had extremely high fees that weren't valuable to me. And then on top of it, she had sold me an annuity, which is a complex retirement product. Basically, it's a way to create your own pension if you haven't heard of one. Annuities aren't necessarily a great fit for a lot of people. And I found out later that this annuity was better suited for somebody that was 55, 60 years old. I was 27 at the time, and I put about $20,000 into that. That money would have made me hundreds of thousands in retirement because of compound interest and because I was so young. So that decision that was made on my behalf wasn't in my best interest. And the financial advisor got a lot of commission on that, on the funds in my account, and some of the other products that I invested in. Once I did all the math to figure out how much I had been paying in fees, the amount of money I lost in this annuity, I had also done a real estate investment that didn't go very well. It was tens of thousands of dollars. And I just felt really stupid and really upset, but it also motivated me to read more and make sure that this didn't happen again. And I thought, if there's a way I can do this on my own, I want to learn. So I read every book. I took a bunch of online courses and talked to millionaire investors. And what I discovered is that really simple, effective investing gives you oftentimes better returns than you can get with a financial advisor. And it's really easy. And it doesn't feel easy or simple. It feels super complicated because there's so much financial jargon, and because of a lot of the messaging we've gotten that investing is this super complicated thing that only certain people or wealthy people can do. And the reality is much different. It's actually very straightforward once you learn the basics, but it feels like a foreign language.
Oh my God, I just thought about the parallels to the corporate structure. Maybe financial world is set up that way to make us feel stupid and like we don't know what we're... I'm like, hello?
Yes.
You know, 1,000%. It's got to be part of the system too, right? It's like if the wealthy few want to continue to stay the wealthy few, then that dialogue has to continue, right? Like where it's like, of course, we're going to feel that way. Of course, we're going to feel like we don't know what's going on, because that's like, you know, what's been created to work against us. But that doesn't mean that we have to operate within that system.
So well said.
I really appreciate that.
there's a lot of things that you need to understand when you are working with financial, and not all of them are bad, by the way. There are some
but just more like, you know, meant to make you feel like you don't know what you're doing, right? Like, you know, totally. That kind of thing, right? Yeah.
A lot of the women that I've worked with that have a financial advisor that's not a great fit for them, they'll ask questions and the advisor will either dodge them or say like, that's too complicated. Like, you don't really need to understand that, which is so freaking patronizing, but also just not true. Like, most of these women that I work with are very successful. They do way harder things every single day in their corporate job or parenting or whatever it is. Investing is actually one of the easier things to do. And it doesn't take a lot of time once you set up simple investments on autopilot, but it just feels so unachievable because it's unfamiliar. And I don't know about you, but in college, I had to take a class like intro to jazz, which like great, but I would have much rather taken a class on investing. So at the end of the day, I think a lot of people have, a lot of women in particular, have beliefs that they're bad at money. Mm-hmm. And then my question is, okay, but how much time have you actually spent learning about it? Because I guarantee a few intentional hours could change your life.
Yeah, so good. So where did you start, like, technically when you wanted to learn? You said some books, right? Like, what helped you figure this out?
Yes. So there is a book called The Simple Path to Wealth by J.L. Collins. I'll send you the link so you can put it in the show notes. And this book was so simple and so straightforward. And it talked about how you can invest in investments called index funds. And an index fund is basically just a fund that holds a group of stocks that track the performance of the stock market. So rather than trying to invest in your own specific stocks or complex mutual funds, index funds are a really easy way to invest for most people. And a lot of times they get better returns than what active investors are trying to do, and they have lower fees. So once I learned about index funds and this financial product, I started asking people I trusted that were successful what they were investing in. And all of them said the same thing. Like, I thought, for sure, it can't be this easy. Like, you can't just like read this book, learn about index funds, and then go buy them.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm like, just read my book, Promotions Made Easy. I'm telling you, it can be this easy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so true. Like, there's such a difference, a gap between like the information being available to us and then us actually using it. But I really appreciate that perspective and also tip, I guess, you know, to invest in index funds. Thank you. Number one.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's much more simple than you think. And a lot of these things can be automated. And investing sounds complicated when you think about, like, we think about the stock market and trading and stocks and bonds and having to like look at financial statements. None of that. This is like very simple, choosing a fund that holds a bunch of different investments, a bunch of different companies. So you don't have to choose investments actively. And for a lot of people, it's 1 to 3 of these funds, and then they just hold them and automatically invest in them. And it can really be that simple. Most of the people I work with, even people that are total newbie investors, they're like, I don't know. I don't actually really feel like I know what a stock is. Like, I know, but I don't know. Like, though, even people like that learn all the basics about investing, and then they go, that's it? Is that the whole thing? And I'm like, yes, it just sounds complicated because of the jargon and the acronyms and the way that we've been brought up. And even if you work with financial institutions, a lot of them make it unnecessarily complicated, and it doesn't have to be that way.
I was thinking about what you said about communicating with people that you trusted, and you were finding out that they were all investing in index funds. And I think a large part of building wealth, and this has been my own personal journey as well for myself, is communication. And I did not grow up in a family that communicated about money. And, you know, and then there would be that strange person that you knew who had money, but no one ever asked them how they got it. And what I find is that when this willingness to have conversations with people around money, they'll tell you how they got their money, right? Like, it's actually incredibly fascinating. You know, they're very proud of it. They did a specific thing to get it, right? Like, the people are not as, for the most part, dodgy about their wealth, like, depending on who it is. And I'm curious, from your perspective, what role communication played in your ability to have just very straightforward conversations, even with a friend or a colleague?
When I talk about money, the first thing I always say is try to let people understand that this is for my own personal, when I was asking a lot of people about what they were doing, it was for my own personal understanding because I had made these mistakes. And I think giving folks context of where you're coming from and why you're asking is really all that it takes, you know,
right. So you're not like being nosy, and you also don't want them to tell you what to do, right? Like you're just curious. Yeah.
Like I'm genuinely curious, you know, here's what, and this, I mean, this goes for any kind of any, if you're trying to elevate in your company or your career, or you're trying to get promoted within your company and you reach out to somebody to maybe have like an informational interview, whatever it is, if you explain why, most of the time people want to help you. And so I reached out to a few people. Some were recommended. I asked around, some were recommended. One was a financial advisor. And I asked that a financial advisor I trusted and a mutual friend trusted. And I asked them about this. And they said, oh, yeah, the average person can invest in index funds and do great. Like most people don't need a financial advisor. And that came from a financial advisor who's very comfortable in what they did. And so I love that. I trusted that person because they're saying to me directly, yeah, you can absolutely do it that way and you'll do great, which to me was all the validation I needed. So and this financial advisor oversees some very wealthy clients. And so it didn't take me long to get the validation I needed. And then, you know, the more research I did, the more that this very simple approach to investing is really one of the best ways to build wealth. And there are a lot of people that have become millionaires by investing in really simple ways that aren't complex.
Cool. So let's say that you make a decent amount of money. You've got some in your 401k, you're successful. And even, you know, I get this sense, like, you know, for a lot of the women that I work with, even this idea of retirement is like, well, it'll happen. Like you have enough money to retire eventually, right? There's not like this fear against it. So why or not really why, but like if that inkling, like you're listening to this and you're like, but I could make more, you know? So what advice would you have for them in terms of how they could expand their wealth and make even more? And it's like not just about getting by, but what can you do to really set yourself up?
Yeah, sure. So I would say for somebody that's already doing pretty well and is pretty successful, already investing in a 401k, there's a lot of reasons to learn the basics of investing. One of the biggest ones I would say is to give yourself more freedom and flexibility faster. When we talk about wealth building, retiring comfortably is obviously very, very important. And, you know, we want money to spend on things that we like and people we care about. But what money provides and what we don't talk about enough is freedom, flexibility, the ability to leave a toxic job, the ability to leave a bad relationship. And so even if you're already doing well, there's probably some things that you can do and learn and implement relatively quickly that can help you grow your wealth even faster. And so for somebody with a 401k, the first thing I would do is learn a little bit about the basics of a 401k and what the fees are that you're paying with the company that you work with. Most people don't know that 401ks have fees. They have administrative fees. And that also every single fund that you're invested in your 401k also has a fees. And these fees feel innocuous. Usually they're like less than 1%. So it doesn't feel like a lot. But over time, they can add up very, very significantly to tens, potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. So even if you're already doing well, optimizing a few small things can make huge impacts in the amount of money that you're going to retire with and the speed in which you grow that money. So that's the first thing. If you have a 401k, learning the basics of what you're invested in, making sure that you're invested in funds that aren't too fee heavy, funds that are going to help you reach your goals. So one thing that I see people make mistakes with a lot with their 401k is they'll just invest in whatever default investment is in there. And that might be too conservative for you. You might not be investing in enough stocks to really grow your wealth, especially if you're in your 30s or 40s. The majority of your portfolio should be in stocks because you have plenty of time to ride out any volatility in the stock market. So even if you're doing well, there's still some small changes that you can make that can make huge, huge differences. The problem is that most people don't feel like it's super impactful because you don't see it today. You know, increasing your contribution by 1% doesn't seem like a lot. Reducing your fees by 0.5% doesn't seem like a lot. But just like your money compounds when you're investing, so do fees. So it's really important to learn the basics of how to manage your 401k. And this could take like an hour or two. This doesn't have to take that much time. And then once you learn the basics of your 401k and make sure that's optimized and set up in a way that's going to help you grow your wealth and that's age appropriate for you, then you can start to take advantage of other retirement accounts. And then the last thing I'll say is the other thing that I don't think a lot of people realize is 401ks, individual retirement accounts, all of these things help you save on taxes, which are our biggest expense. So again, you're working super hard for your money. Like right now, you're trading your time for money. So there is nothing more important in my mind than making sure that you're doing everything you can to make that money grow for you so you don't have to continue trading your time for money on an ongoing basis. And so 401k is a great place to start. And then you'll want to make sure you're taking advantage of any other types of retirement accounts. But for me and the women I speak to, it's the optionality that is why it can be so motivating to make sure you're taking care of your money, like leaving the job, whatever dream is in you. If you have a dream to do something else, right? If you have the money to do that in 5 years from now, you're like, I'm a badass CEO because I've been listening to Stacey's podcast and she taught me all the things I needed to. And now I'm here and I'm crushing it. But I actually want to do this thing, or I want to go work for a nonprofit or whatever. I want to spend more time with my kids. Like that's the kind of thing that you can completely speed up your path to if you're intentional with these small things.
I love that. Back to this idea of communication, I'm also wondering if there's an element in your work to giving permission to women to openly communicate themselves about money. So I know that in some of your work, you have group cohorts that you work with. It's not just one-on-one financial advising. And I think actually now that I say that out loud, I bet most of the advisory happens one-to-one with people. It doesn't happen in these group settings where we're able to share information, you know, technical information about what to do, but also just like, I want to make a lot of money. And even just saying that for a lot of women, it is a little awkward, right? It's like, oh, no, I want to maximize my income. You know, I do want a promotion so that I can make more money, right? Like, you know, I do want to learn about investing so that I can make more money. And being in a community of other individuals who are also doing that can be incredibly freeing. And I would think from a manifestation standpoint, it would probably increase your chances as well. Like you're all upping the game.
Yes, 100%. And that's one of my big goals with this business is I start the Money Confident program is my small group coaching program. And everyone in that program who's ever taken it is part of a Slack channel. And so in Slack, women are constantly sharing, oh, I opened this account, or I invested this much money, or I got this kind of promotion. And hearing other, like some people haven't even thought about the fact that they could negotiate a salary while they're in their current positions, like small things like that. Like you think about negotiating when you start a job, but not necessarily while you're in a company still. And those are kinds of things that we don't like for people that are in the corporate world that focus on promotion and negotiation, you would think, of course, but this woman who's incredibly intelligent, she just like never thought about that. So that's what I love about the community is that there's small things like that that make a big difference, like even opening a high yield savings account, which for those of you that don't know what that is, that's just an online bank account that gives you a way higher interest rate. And at the time of this recording, August 8th, interest rates are 5%, and it's totally safe and you get 5% on your money. So if you're sitting in thousands of dollars in your checking account in your big bank, earning like 0.01%, you're not making any money on that money that's sitting there. And so in the Slack channel, women will say, oh, I just opened up this high yield savings account and I transferred $50,000. And people just talk like that in there. And it's awesome. And it is funny. A lot of people, when I talk to them about the program or if they're debating whether to join, they're like, I really think I need one-on-one because my situation's like unique. And I'm not saying like you're not special, but like a lot of the challenges are similar to everybody else's challenges, but it doesn't feel like it because we're never talking about it.
Yeah. So
that's like what I love about the community. Every single person feels behind. Every single person wants to invest, but feels overwhelmed. Every single person has great, easy takeaways too, which is also very motivating. So I do think it's important to find a community of people that you can start to talk about this kind of stuff, Will, because the smallest piece of information can pay itself back in dividends. And that's the thing I love about investing too, is like teaching this stuff doesn't take years or months. It's a couple of weeks and you learn some things that can really make a huge impact on your life.
Yeah. You know, I actually had a realization. So this is like deep, like inner child trauma work or whatever, like my own beliefs around money. And, you know, you were talking about hoarding money under your mattress, like just like the, how we were brought up and like understanding this. And I had this, my mom was divorced when I was little and she had a very independent financial mindset. So she was like, I have to work hard and I have to figure it out. And it's like very, very independent. I will never be dependent on a man to do this for me. Right. And I think that's how I always thought about building wealth, is that I had to be financially independent, right? And you talked about it at age 35 as a single woman. And there is like so much to that that is very, very important and it gives you choices. But the transition that I've been making in the last year or so is interdependence and really being able to learn from other people around me and to be able to share stories and to take advice. Because the downside to the independent thinking is that you somehow have to figure this all out yourself. And so like what you were describing, I was like, oh, that's exactly the journey that I've been on, is that I've been like, I must do this. I must figure this out. But then what that creates is a lot of solo work. Like it's just me doing it. But then once I started talking to other people and asking for guidance and support and help and asking questions, then not only do I feel better about it, but it kind of seems like that is the way.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I lucked out in that I had some mentors around me that I could ask these questions to. I'm also kind of bold and just will ask anybody anything.
Right.
But I also love that about creating community, is that the whole point of what I'm teaching is so that you can be financially independent, so that you can have financial freedom. Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean that along the way, you're not building relationships that are going to help you get to wherever you want to go. Like, I love the way you said that, like you can be supported and create an amazing network of people and still be super independent. Like those things aren't mutually
exclusive. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I love that. I was thinking about your journey and where you are now. And my inkling is there must be something else on the horizon in terms of your own and personal investing strategies. So, you know, we talked a little bit about what you did in the beginning and sort of how you advise people now, but I'm curious where you're at right now, having more information and knowledge. What are you doing? What's the latest trend, Tess?
So I will tell you that the majority of, I would say half of my net worth is in the stock market in very simple investments and very simple index funds, funds that hold, you know, the majority of the largest stocks in the US. And those just sit there and they're on autopilot and I have money going into them every single month. So there is a good half of all my investments that could not be more simple. And the reason that I keep them in there is because the average performance of the stock market over the last 30 years, the average historical return is about 10%. And if you could say 8% if you want to subtract for inflation. And most active money managers that try to time the market end up underperforming the market. So, and when I say most, it's about 90% over the last decade. So when you start to look at the data, trying to time the market, trying to time specific stocks, all of that is very complex, very hard to do. Most day traders lose money. So the majority of my stuff, I'll say, is in very simple index fund portfolios with three funds that I can teach you how to do in a matter of hours, like very straightforward. It might feel a little complex at first when you don't know the basics, but once you learn the basics, you'll go, oh, that's it. So that's where a lot of my money is. Then a lot of it is in real estate. So I've invested in a couple different multifamily properties, a single family property, and a syndication as well. A syndication is real estate investment where you can join as a limited partner and you basically, it's a group of people that get together, pool money to buy a larger investment. What's nice about that, and especially if you're somebody that is maxing out your retirement accounts and you want to do something else, but you're not sure what to do, these types of investments have 5 to 7 year time horizons, and you're a limited partner, which means you don't have to do all the stuff. So for that investment, which is nice for me because I'm in transition, I have a lot going on right now. That's a really nice way to invest in real estate without having to actually buy the property myself. You do have to be an accredited investor for those kind of investments, which means you have a net worth of 1 million, excluding your primary residence, or you've made 200K over the last 2 years. But there are lots of other ways if you're not an accredited investor to invest in real estate too. There's platforms like Fundrise where you can log on and actually invest in property. And it's very simple, like user portal, and you can invest in property without ever having to see it. You can see different properties, very cool. So I do think that real estate is an incredible opportunity, and it doesn't necessarily have to be you buying the properties. That is the most lucrative way to make money if you buy the properties. But I will say that it's not passive. A lot of influencers online will say real estate's super easy and it's passive income. Like investing in the stock market and index funds, that stuff's easy. It's very passive. Doesn't take a lot of work. Buying your own real estate properties, it can be passive once you set it up, but it's not. And it's not necessarily complex. It's just math. But it takes time to learn, and it's not necessarily as smooth sailing as some people would like to lead you to believe.
I was thinking it as you were talking about investing in sort of these random things too. I was like, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby this past year was like part of some sort of investment share. There were lots of owners that owned that horse. And I was like, yes. It's amazing. Like, I thought that was so cool. But, you know, sometimes your return, you know, unless the horse wins the Kentucky Derby, you might not see a lot come back from that.
Yeah, I will say those two things are the top. And then I would also say, when I think about investing, I also think about investing in yourself in terms of your own growth. So not to be overlooked is hiring a coach to help you get promoted to make more money and thinking mm-hmm. about that as an investment, right? Like, you know, a great coach might cost you thousands of dollars, but you also might increase your salary by $30,000 or whatever it is. So mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that's another piece. I would say that's investing in yourself. And a lot of people don't think about that when it comes to investing, mm-hmm. but same if you're starting a business or you want to someday like leave your corporate job, maybe start your own thing. If that's something you want to do, you're going to have to invest in mm-hmm. your business and set aside money for that. And that can be one of the best ways to grow your wealth, is to create something. If you're, you know, at VP level, C-suite level, you have a lot to offer. You have an incredible skill set that you mm-hmm. might be able to amplify on the side or after your career. And so there are other ways to create income that aren't necessarily stocks or real estate.
So as a woman and a leadership position, why do you personally feel motivated to have that voice at the table?
I think the main reason when it comes to sharing thought leadership around finances is that I've seen the power of taking control of your finances and getting in the driver's seat of your financial situation and how much that can improve every single part of your life. We're talking about money, but if you have money and security to take care of yourself, to find professionals, if you needed to find a great therapist, to go to a fancy gym, like whatever it is, I think that is the piece that really gets me going, is that you have the opportunity to chase whatever dream is in you, but then also design a life that feels good to you, that can help you grow and do whatever you want to do. And to be at the top of your leadership game, to sit in a C-suite position and do well, you better be taking care of yourself in these other places, right? So I think that's the thing that I love about taking control of your finances and having a plan, is that it is such a huge source of stress. Like most women mm-hmm. in their 40s and 50s that are in positions of leadership have anxiety around money. Most people do. And so the value of taking control of that will impact every other area of your life. And then there's the macro problem for me, the gender wealth gap, which we talk mm-hmm. about the gender pay gap. But if you play the tape down the road, what happens is we have, you know, we make less money, and then women are typically nervous, so we invest less money because we're mm-hmm. less risk takers. And then we have less overall wealth. And when women have money, magic happens, mm-hmm. right? Women donate more, women lift each other up, women start amazing businesses. And so I just want more women to be millionaires. Like, I want more money in the hands of women as much as possible.
That's so cool.
Yes. Yeah. We should all be millionaires. And I mean that, not so you can buy a Lamborghini, but if you do, like, cool, more power to you, but so that you can make an impact, because so many women have incredible stories, incredible things to share. And if you have a little bit of financial security to support you, I just feel like there's no limit to what you can do. So amazing. That's what gets me going.
Yeah, me too. That's amazing. So any final words of advice, anything that we missed here that you want to offer my audience?
Yeah, I would say the most important thing when it comes to growing your wealth is getting an education. And I would say working on your money mindset, which is taking time to identify, you know, what your limiting beliefs around money are, whether it's you're greedy for wanting money, that's total BS. Whether it's you're bad at money, you're probably not. You probably just haven't spent the time to learn. So I would say that's the first thing, but starting as soon as possible. Like, if you're listening to this and you don't know what you're investing in your 401k, don't know what your fees are, you're not sure exactly what other types of investments there are out there for you, you don't know what your financial advisor is doing, understanding all these things now is going to result in thousands of more dollars later in your life. So every single woman that I work with wishes they started sooner. Every single one. Like, there's not one that's like, oh, I'm doing this too early.
Every
single person that I work with just wishes they started early. So if any of this resonates with you, make sure you take some action, get an education. It doesn't have to be crazy. You can start with your 401k. And actually, in a free guide I have a list of things to check in your 401k. So that'll be in the show notes.
Oh, we'll link to it. Yeah,
perfect. Totally. That's great. So that's what I would say. And in that investor starter pack I have, it's called the Savvy Investor Starter Pack. And in there is a video of a bunch of mistakes that I've made, how to avoid them. There's financial metrics, order of investing operations, some money affirmations, how to fix your money mindset, a lot of great stuff in that guide, and including the 401k checklist. That'll be in the show notes. But that's a good example of somewhere simple to start, and then pick one thing and do it. It's manifesting plus action, right? Not just we can't like wish for money without taking action. So definitely do it as soon as possible and don't wait, because you even if you wait a year, it impacts your returns significantly. So don't wait. This is your sign.
Yes, I'm going to go download the starter kit. I told you I was taking notes in today's episode, so I'm really excited. I've got my homework.
Perfect.
Let everybody know how they can follow you, connect with you, other ways.
Awesome. Yeah. So the first thing I would do is when you download the Savvy Investor Starter Pack in the show notes, in there, there's a link to my free investing workshop, which I host roughly every other month. So that's one of the best places to learn. And I host live Q&A, so you can join that. And then follow me on Instagram at Wealth with Tess. And don't be a stranger. If you send me a DM, I will answer. Really me, not a bot. It might just take me a minute. So follow on at Wealth with Tess. And I would love to hear
from you. I love it. Oh, amazing. And she will inspire your exercise routine. I guarantee you. I'm inspired. Thank you so much. This is going to help so many people. If you're listening to today's episode and you do make any of these changes, also let us know, like tag us on Instagram or wherever, LinkedIn, and let us know that it's working for you so that we can get this information to more and more women. This work matters, and bringing wealth to more women matters. So thank you. Thanks, Tess. I appreciate
you. Thank you so much, Stacey. I appreciate you. The work you're doing is so important, and I'm so glad you're doing it.
Thank you. Go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be or how far away you might be and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. yourpromotabilityscore.com and let me know how it goes.